What to give your sister for her birthday? She loves surprises. You've already organised the surprise party and invited her ex-boyfriend Ravi.
That'll be a good surprise.
Ooh, maybe a scratch card from the National Lottery. She'll see the envelope and think you've forgotten the present, but surprise, it's inside. The National Lottery. Best gift ever. Please gift responsibly. And remember, you need to be 18 to buy, gift and play. Even though it's a gift, rules and procedures apply.
Let's begin by placing a piece of gum in your mouth. Now chew. Your surroundings fade. Chew. You're on a mountaintop. Chew. An eagle lands on your shoulder. Chew. The eagle introduces himself as Eduardo. Chew. Eduardo tells you to take life one chew at a time. Chew. The world is filled with wonder. Chew. I'm talking eagles, apparently. Extra gum. Chew good.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who, in a concert, you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendships, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Banning abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Unapologetically Black Podcast. We are so excited. Shan's birthday is rapidly approaching and we're very excited. Shan, how are you feeling about the birthday this year? I know birthdays are funny for people, like they always think either there's loads of anxiety or loads of excitement. Where are you falling on the spectrum?
Well, do you know, I actually haven't been excited about it until you just mentioned it. Before that, I've been a bit down in the dumps, you know. We're not going to go sad today on the podcast. But it's my first birthday about my aunt, and she was always quite, you know, a big role on birthdays in the family. And then it's also on a Friday, which was our day. So just quite, you know, I'm preparing for a lot of emotions on the day. And so far, because of that, I haven't been planning anything. But what I've done is I've delegated responsibilities to one of my friends to plan something and a sibling. So I can just, you know, enjoy life until then. But now you've mentioned it, I'm like, maybe I am looking forward to it. Like, sis, you're turning a new age.
Yeah, it's always a moment for like refreshing, restarting, evaluating. I feel like I love birthdays for that reason. Last year, I spent the entire day by myself. I just kind of laid in bed, watched TV, munched on my favorite snacks, and it was a great birthday. It was a great birthday just for that reason alone, just to be able to like chill. You know, I feel like we spend so much of our days like running around.
Yeah.
It's nice to have that day that you just take for yourself, whatever it looks like.
And just to be a bit reflective, because I feel like this year I was like, I'm definitely in my grown woman bag now, okay? Because the reason why is because I'm like, I don't mind not raving. I don't mind not going out to eat. I don't mind just chilling because I'm actually filled with a lot of gratitude. Whereas normally I think I look at birthdays and celebrations as a time to be quite, not flamboyant, but like, I have to have a thing that I do. Whereas actually I'm like, if I was to be at home, but wake up on that day, order my favorite food, have some nice mango, like I would be good.
That would be amazing. I'd
be good. But guys, we're not on the podcast alone, as you've probably seen from the description, the title, the image, something. Maybe you're here from TikTok, from one of our posts. This week, we are joined by Coach Dan. Now, Coach Dan is someone who I follow on TikTok. I've been ranting and raving to Leanne about. I'll describe her as a mindset coach. Maybe we'll find out if she uses another title in a minute. But what I love about her and why I wanted her to be on this podcast is because she is very authentic and she is just very raw and very real. And that is literally everything we stand for and believe in with the Dope Black Woman podcast. If you didn't check out our recent episode where we spoke about authenticity, then go back and listen to that after this. because that's at the core of what we do. So when we introduce you now to the pods, Coach Dan, I want you to start by asking you, what's your own journey been like to becoming unapologetically you?
From when I was young, I've always known I was a little bit different, if that makes sense. Like I always saw a lot of people like not going with the flow, watching what other people are doing. But I always had my own like little vision, what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to university. I wanted to be the first one. I wanted to be like a generational, I don't say curse breaker, I say we're creating new cycles, because I really understood that my mum and dad did the best that they could possibly do for us. Yeah. When I'm telling you that, shout out to my parents, because, you know, they might financially might not have been able to pour into us as much as they could, but they gave us some good morals, some good values. And I always wanted to kind of like repay them back for that, if that makes sense. Like I wanted to, like, when I got to a certain age, I wanted to just be like, here you go. Like, thank you. You've just, my mum and dad both blessed them. Unfortunately, my mum's not here anymore. So she played a part in that as well. She taught me how to just be independent. Don't listen to no one, my girl. Just be yourself. And I just feel, for me, it's a very, authenticity is very important to me. It's a core value to me. So I'm able to just be unapologetically myself because I've got to know myself. I went on a massive journey of self-discovery, and because I know who I am, unapologetically, I love this version of me. I accept this version of me, and I don't care who doesn't accept it. It's just, that's just where I am right now. So as long as I love me, that's all that really matters in this lifetime. Obviously, I love other people, but I'm saying just when it comes to me, that's why I'm so unapologetic.
It's interesting because I think most of us struggle so much with prioritizing ourselves and really saying what you just said out loud in terms of, like, I genuinely love myself, and anyone who doesn't love themselves, love me in the way that I am now, can keep it pushing, essentially. What were you like before? What did it take to get to the space that you're in now?
I've always been unapologetically myself, if that makes sense. Like, I've always been the person that will say what everybody else is thinking but afraid to say. I've always kind of been like this, but I feel that the more that I got to know myself, the more comfortable I felt with being who I am. You know, you find a lot of the time there's a lot of societal pressures, a lot of outside expectations on you, and the more that I got to know myself, the less and less I cared about those outside expectations, because I was like, you know what, all that matters is that, am I happy with what I'm doing? Am I happy with who I am, where I'm going, my values? And I feel that's what it built on. The more I got to know myself, the more I'm just so unapologetic, because, you know, we have one life, and I'm not going to spend it with having the pressures of outside societal expectations that aren't exactly my own. So get to know yourself, ladies. That's what I would say as a, how I got here. Just kept building on it. The more I pour into myself, the more I'm unapologetic.
And what's your journey been like to, like, loving yourself? Because I think there's a close link between being unapologetic to yourself and loving yourself, but I don't think they always come at the same time. And I remember Leanne asked me on a different podcast episode that we did, like, when was the moment that you realized that you loved yourself? And I had to really just sit and dig deep into, like, my own journey. So for you, like, was there a light bulb moment where you was like, do you know what? I actually do love myself now. Like, I do love maybe the version of myself that I'm operating in, or the version of myself that I'm becoming.
I don't think there was that aha moment, but like I said, the more I got to know myself, the more I kind of fell in love with myself, because the more you discover yourself, you discover what you like, what you don't like, what brings you joy, what doesn't bring you joy. And also, I'm very deep on self-reflection. And when I self-reflect, right, I'm actually a really nice person. Like, I'm generous. I want to help people. You know, I've really poured into myself education-wise, you know, so I think that, why wouldn't I love me? Now I've actually got to know myself. I know what hobbies I like, what, you know, what kind of makes me tick. I absolutely love this about me. And I feel that it wasn't an aha moment, but like I said, it literally just all comes down to you getting to know yourself. The more you know yourself and understand, the more you can appreciate the journey that you've gone through, where you are, how you got to where you are. So it was just, I'd say, progress, because loving yourself is a very hard thing to do, especially when you feel mentally that you have a lot of thoughts about you. Because I feel that for us women, it's very much so, one of our biggest problems is how worthy we feel, how much self-worth we have. And if we don't feel very worthy, we operate in this world, people can see when you don't feel very worthy. So I've really had to get over that. I am worthy, I am valuable, and I will treat myself as such. So it's been a stages.
It's funny because I think you're 100% right. Shannon and I were just talking about this the other day. When you actually are confident, when you love yourself, it oozes out of you. People can see it when you're walking down the street. people, I think we were talking about it with women with low hair and how like there's a certain level of confidence that they have. How do you think that, because we're always changing and we're always shifting and we're always becoming new versions of ourselves as we have new experiences or experience different things. How do you think loving yourself has helped you to help other people? Because I think there are so many coaches out in this world, no shade to anybody in particular, but that it's very obvious that they're still going through the struggle and that they're trying to help other people at the same time and maybe not as effective. Like what's your transition from learning to love yourself to saying, okay, I'm going to do this for other people?
So my transition came in the value of learning about mindset, learning about myself, you know, standing in me being unapologetic, right? And everything I've learned over the last 2 decades, I was like, this would be a crime not to share with other people. And I'm very transparent with my audience as well, because I feel that when you're growing, it's a continuous journey. But I'm very where I've got to, I'm very happy where I am. And I feel because I'm happy with where I am, I'm not afraid to be out here and have that confidence to be like, listen, I have been through a lot, ladies, but here's the end of the tunnel. And even though I'm still building on anything that I go through right now, and there's going to be progression, I feel I've got to a point where I'm very comfortable with being in the public eye and, like you said, being unapologetically myself. So I feel that me learning the information where I'm comfortable to start sharing it, where I feel like I'm kind of an expert in this field, but also working on myself to the point where I love myself and I don't care about what anybody thinks, I'm going to add this value to other women.
You see, for people who might be listening, who are like, you know, I really want to get to that point of loving myself, but I just can't get there. Like, I've tried to put myself out there more. I've tried to do 5 tips for this that I've seen on Google, I've seen on Reddit. Like, what practical steps do you have for helping people who aren't quite there yet on their journey?
So I give this exercise to my audience all the time. It's really simple, but it's very effective, right? I feel in this journey, we have to understand that input is output. So if you think you've tried everything, one of the first things I say is understand what the input is. So pick one area. I always say this to my audience, pick one area. Don't try to do too much because you're going to overwhelm yourself. Pick one area and really deep dive and say to yourself, right, what thoughts, feelings, and beliefs am I having around this so that you can understand what the input is? If you understand what the input is, it's going to align with what your current output is. So what does that tell us? We need to deal with the input. So if you want somewhere to start, make that list. So now you have input. So now you have a bit of clarity as to why you might not be achieving, or because a lot of people as well, remember, they attack the physical, the surface level, when actually in every single situation, there's a mental and there's a physical. So if you understand what mental is driving for you to have these physical actions, then guess what? You can change that. You have the power to change it. When you change it, your output is different. So I always say, understand what your mental is, what you feel and what you think and what you believe in regards to this particular situation.
It's funny because I think what you just said for me defines the difference between self-maintenance and the outward of like getting your nails done and getting your hair done, which I think makes a difference, and real self-care or self-love. And working on what you're putting into your spirit, your soul, and being able to, as you said, reflect and grow and love yourself even more. I think one of the other things, I can imagine that some people, and I'm not sure if you work on with people on a one-on-one basis or if you strictly do like speaking engagements, that kind of thing. Would love to hear more about how you help people on a day-to-day basis. Beyond that of TikTok. But what is the biggest obstacle you think people face in really identifying that input and how to pour into themselves when they're starting their journey?
I think, so I have a coaching framework and it's called ADKAR, and the first stage is assess. A lot of people don't assess what is actually going on. They don't self-reflect. So in regards, for instance, if you've had money problems for a long time, are you going to actually sit down and reflect, what decisions have I made in regards to my money? You know, what has actually worked for me in the past with your money? Not a lot of people, they don't self-reflect. They just have an idea and they go charging in. I feel it's very important for you to understand why you got to where you are in the first place. Once you understand that, then the next time you go through something, you've learned something, you have an understanding. Self-reflection is so important, but so underrated, underrated.
I think that reminds me, there's someone in my life that frequently borrows money from me. And there was a time where I asked them, like, no, there was a time where they were talking about their struggles with money management. And you won't know this, but I'm quite good with money. Yeah. So this person was like, you know, I don't really like asking people for money. It makes me feel like emasculated, or demasculated, however you say that word. But like, I come to you because I trust you. But you know, last time I asked you to borrow me money, you asked me a question that made me feel away. And I'm like, okay, what did I ask you? And they were like, you said like, well, how did you get to that point? And I was like, the reason why I asked you that is because you keep asking me for money every single month and you don't need to. The only reason why you keep asking me for money every single month is because you're not noticing your pattern of behavior every single month, which is why we have this continuous cycle. And actually, when I asked you why you was unable to have money this month, you said because you got less hours. And because you got less hours, you didn't have money to fall back on, which means you just need to have savings. That is actually your solution, is to have savings. And so I think, like, you're right. When you actually dig deep and, like, have that introspective conversation with yourself, you are able to get tangible answers or solutions to just, like, progress and, like, move forward. But something else I want to talk about, you did a video the other day where you spoke about like not clinging on to people's opinions that they give you, yeah, which is something that for a long time, not so much now, but for a long time, that was me. I was a magnet to things I was told as a child. I think it shaped my identity a lot for a long while until I got older and was able to like shake them off. But I just wanted to ask, like, for you and your experience, do you have any experiences of that, of like people's opinions like clouding your view or your judgment of yourself? And if you do, what has your journey been like to navigate in that?
I feel that I very much noticed the judgment. Like I said, in my teenage years, I kind of knew what I wanted. I wanted to go to university and everything. I had my son at 17, so everybody just assumed, oh, you're not going to go university, da 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 da. And I said to my mum, I remember very vividly, I was like, why does everybody think that I'm not going to go to university because I've got a child? I was like, there's a solution for everything. So I didn't actually understand, right, why people was determining my life because they felt, look, this is the situation, so this is going to be the outcome. So from a young age, I've kind of understood, because I'm very observant, right, that people will speak to you in their own view of the world. If they think that they can't go to university with a child, that's what they're going to think that you can't do. So I learned at a very young age to separate myself from that. It's been difficult. Family are the worst, right, because they know you, they like to push your buttons and just, you know, dab dab dab. But even them, I just think friends or family or anybody that has an outside opinion, I've learned to trust myself. So I don't need to hear your opinion because I'm the leader of me. I have authority over me and I should know what I'm doing for me. So I'm very much standing that, and everybody knows how I stand, all my friends, all my family. Please don't speak on my life, because I'm very capable to actually understand what I need to do. And if I make a mistake, that's for me to make the mistake. So I feel that just from a young age, I've observed that people will speak negativity into your life if they're unfulfilled. So when I see them with that unfulfilled behavior, I'm just like, I know me, I know what I'm doing. It all really comes down to you knowing who you are, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Is there a balance to that though? Because I'm a very stubborn individual. And as you know, in Jamaica, there's a saying, all who don't hear must feel. And everybody in my family and all of my friends are like, Leanne's just going to have to learn this lesson for herself, even though we can all clearly see that she's making a massive mistake, usually in the context of relationships, but we move. So is there a balance between learning your own mistakes and avoiding certain mistakes by incorporating the advice of other people? Like, do you have a coach as a coach? You know, do you have people that have inspired you or look up to, or that you do trust, you know, because they know you as well as they do, you trust them to go to them for advice or anything like that?
Definitely. So I call it feedback. So the people in your life, they know you the best, right? So any situation that I find that I feel that I need outside counsel on, I'm more than happy to hear, you know, people's advice on that. And also, your friends will be your friends. If they feel that you're going down a destructive path, the way that me and my friends and my family communicate, it's very easy to communicate that without making anybody feel away. We have like an open policy. If something, we need to tell you something, we're going to speak in a way that's very respectful, but help you at the same time. So because I'm such a straight talker, I want someone to talk to me straight. So we don't really have a problem with communicating like that. But I feel the reason why I'm so guarded of it is because half of our problems stem from self-doubt. So first, we need to understand the situation before we seek outside counsel. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I feel that we need to believe in ourselves and believe in the decision that we make. And sometimes I feel that we do need to learn our own lessons, but I do feel we need to be emotionally intelligent enough to also learn from other people's lessons and also hear when people that care and love about us are are giving us feedback. So it's not a closed, I don't close myself off, but I just trust myself. And I would prefer to go mentally through the situation before I kind of open up to other people. But 100%, you have to have that support. But I feel you have to have people around you that are going to speak to you with respect, even if what is coming out of their mouth isn't the most favorable that you want to hear.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I've got to balance that out sometimes. As the person that's given the feedback, when it comes to like my mum and my brother, I think sometimes with them I'm a bit too harsh, you know, based on the feedback they give me about my feedback to them. Sometimes I'm a bit too harsh or direct, and that's something that I'm working on. But it comes from a place of love. It's just that I don't feel like they always have the understanding. And so when I'm trying different methods, my last resort now is just to be beyond raw, cutthroat, direct, so they just get it. But I think, yeah, I need to add a sprinkle of love to that communication at the same time. But yeah, I didn't used to always be like this. When I go through things, I'll have like certain friends that I'll approach for certain things almost immediately. But I feel like more recently I've been more like, okay, I want to know how I'm feeling about this before I have a conversation with someone, so that I know like what my own level of discernment is on this conversation and situation. Because I feel like some people will project. And it kind of goes back to what you were saying about the limiting beliefs of, I don't think you use that phrase, but ultimately the limiting beliefs of the family members who are assuming that you wouldn't be able to go to uni because you had a child at like 17. Because I remember talking to an old friend, she's not a friend anymore, lol. But I remember talking to an old friend and I was talking to him about a guy I was dating and she gave me a particular advice. And then we were talking another day about the same guy and she gave me another particular advice. And I'm like... I said, baby, why do these stories, why has your angle has had 100% 360 shift? And she's like, do you know what I realized? When I'm going through something bad with my guy, I give bad advice.
Well, at least she was self-aware enough to say it, right?
She was, but it made me think, I've been friends with this person for, I'm not going to say how many years because, you know, GDPR, but I've been friends with this person for a lot of years. And it made me think, how many times did I come to you for advice and you gave me advice in a way that was you projecting your own life, how you felt about your own self? Do you get what I mean? And it made me, that was a light bulb moment a few years ago where it made me be like, one, I gotta know who I'm going to, and two, I gotta know, have my own understanding about the situation that I'm in, so that when I'm going to these people I can then make the best decisions for myself. Because you know, Lee, when I give advice, I don't really give advice, I more just give like different opinions, and then you guys choose
and share. Yeah,
it's more like therapy. True. Like, you guys will make your own decisions based on our conversation. I'm not gonna say to you, do this, do that. Like, I really want to be like, oh, I would do X, because when I say I would do X and you do it in your last mashup, no one's coming to me. No one is coming to me. But Leanne, how do you, like, what's your thing with like that when you're going through something? Do you have a moment for yourself? Like, what's your experience like?
I definitely think about it for myself, but I also go to people dependent on what I see happening in their lives. So I know for me, if I have relationship advice, I'm going to go to my friends who I look up to, or who I say, that's the kind of relationship that I would want to aspire to. Like, someone asked me about, I remember I was looking for a career coach, as it were, or a mentor. And someone said to me, well, who's the person whose career you want to be like? If you had to be someone else, who would that person
that
be?
Was me,
and
that's that asked you.
Oh, was it you?
On the pod. I'm like, this sounds familiar.
And so that's kind of how I choose who I go to in any given moment. Obviously, if my parents were around, they would be my go-to people because I trust them and they know me better than anyone else. But without having them there and without having like access to my aunts and uncles readily, I'll go to friends dependent. So like for you, if I needed financial advice, I would probably come to you because I'd be like, Shan is always good at saving. She's so on top of things. So that's kind of how I choose who I go to at any given point in time. And I know you have to know your friends, right? Some of your friends, you know, are just going to give you shitty advice.
Some are going to enable your behavior because they think just like you. Some aren't going to be honest and be like, you're actually very bad mind and wicked and you need to apologize.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but do you get what I mean? No, honestly, like I had one of my friends, and I remember I went to her and I just changed my story a little bit just to see how she would respond. And I said, my good Lord, you'd really let me get away of doing this, huh? But if it was the other way around, how would you want my friend to my friend to one of my other friends to advise me if this person was you that we was talking about. Do you know what I mean?
And sometimes you need those friends, you know. Sometimes you need those friends to gas you. Sometimes you need those friends to be like, yes, Leanne, you can do it. Just go out there and get it done. But yeah, they can't enable all of your bad behavior. Yeah.
There's a balance in that. Because if I'm in my, because you know me, I'm a bit of a delusional babes, yeah. If I'm being delusional and I'm like, he loves me. He loves me. I need you guys to both be like, yes, sis, he does. He wants to marry you today. He just not decided on the ring yet. Do you know what I mean? There's a time and a place for delusion. But we've gone off topic, as I always do. But back to the program. This whole conversation that we've just been discussing kind of links to the idea of like self-doubt and self-belief, right? We're getting advice from our friends. And how do we know whether it's something we should trust or whether it's something we should believe in based on our own level of discernment? So like what advice do you have for people being able to strengthen their own understanding of their self-belief?
Get to know yourself. And as you said before, like go through, talk through with yourself, whatever it is that you want to go and discuss with somebody else. And before you open your mouth to speak to somebody else, you need to have a full understanding or a lot of understanding about what you're actually going through, what your possible solutions are going to be. And then when you actually do that, you're going to automatically start trusting yourself because you sat down with yourself and you talked through it. You went and spoke to someone else, you kept true to yourself and you didn't allow them to penetrate what you was thinking. You just heard another side of the story. Then you go off and now you go and make your decision based on what you really want to do. And then when that works out in whether it's good or bad favor, you start trusting yourself because I did that. I decided I'm going to sit down and really think about it. I went and implemented it. Oh, do you know what? I trust myself. And the more you do that, the more you're going to build and trust yourself because that's what this is about. No one else knows you like you. Yes, we love our parents and they know us, but no one really knows what's going on inside your head, how you really feel about things. So just get to know who you are. That's exactly what I would say. And think about things before you start promoting your business. Because as you said, not everyone has their best interests because they will answer you as if they were, if it was you, if it was them. Mm. So just be aware and understand who you are so that you can understand when somebody is projecting.
That's a really good point. They're always going to answer from their perspective and not necessarily knowing you as well as you know yourself. Knowing how to answer for you specifically. That's actually a really interesting point.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Hey everyone, just want to invite you to join us at our first ever retreat in Portugal next year. Think about making new friends in a beautiful country house while having healing workshops, inspirational talks, and cultural excursions. Our Dig Deep retreat is all about connecting with ourselves and each other and celebrating our differences. Check out our website, www.dopeblackwoman.co.uk.
Unapologetically Black.
But I think this whole conversation links into something else that I know you're quite passionate about, which is this idea around like fixed mindset and like growth mindset. So for people listening who maybe this is the first time hearing those sort of terms, can you kind of explain a bit about what that actually looks like practically and what it is?
So our mindset is the key driver to everything in our life. It's responsible for the clothes we wear, the partner we have, the money in our account, the house we have. And there's a lady, a psychologist, her name is Carol Dweck, and she's the one that termed this coin fixed and growth. And what it means is that if you have a fixed mindset, you think that your abilities are static and that they're unchangeable. If you have a fixed mindset, it really alters the way that you embrace the opportunities and the challenges that you have. Because fixed mindset people don't believe in effort. If you have an opportunity that requires effort, they're going to be like, that's a no from me, right? But they only thrive in what they know. Also with fixed mindset people, they're not happy for the success of others, really not happy, because it challenges their belief around not having to put effort in. So, you know, with a growth mindset person, it's completely different. When they approach opportunities, they don't care if they don't have it all together. They're like, do you know what? This requires effort. If I'm going to make something out here in this life, it's going to require effort. So what a growth mindset person do was put that effort in. And obviously, what do they see? Results. And also when, growth mindset people, when they are approaching challenges, they know it's temporary, and they also know that it's another opportunity for them to learn, stretch and grow. So the way, depending on what mindset you have, is is going to depend on how you approach opportunities and embrace challenges out here in this world. Your mindset shapes and influences your behavior and how you move in this life. That's the best way for me to say. So if you have a fixed mindset, you're automatically cutting yourself off from opportunities because you believe that they don't require effort. So, and with growth mindset people, they're so happy for the success of others because, you know, other people being successful, it just shows them, look, really, like if you do put the possibilities of it. So just in turn, so the fixed and growth mindset is just the first part of it, identifying what type of mindset that you have. And you're going to find that you've got a bit of both. A bit of fixed mindset in some things is actually a good thing. You know, if you was on the edge of the cliff, you want to have a fixed mindset to say that you're going to stay there, but just not in areas of your life where it's actually affecting you. So the second part of that is to overcome any limit and beliefs. And whether you have, I just want to add this in, whether you have a fixed mindset or a growth mindset, everybody's got limiting beliefs. So, you know, cultivating a growth mindset just means that you're going to embrace more opportunities. You're going to understand that challenges are a way for you to learn and grow. And you're going to be really inspired by the success of others. So you can just automatically see by the difference of them, how would a fixed mindset person versus a growth mindset person attack the goal that they're actually going for? Completely different, as you can see. So just by shifting and cultivating a more growth mindset, you're already putting yourself another 10 steps in front of everybody else because you believe that you can do it.
So do you feel like to make the transition from being fixed mindset to growth mindset, obviously in certain areas where it'll be beneficial for you, the first step is like just acknowledging it. Then what would you say it'd be like the second step or something else someone can do to change the way they think or approach life?
So the deep dive, self-reflect, you know, me having this fixed mindset, what has it not enabled me to do in the past? You know, what has it enabled me to do? Why do I feel that my talents are static and unchangeable? Why do I not believe in effort? Really do a deep dive. So now you know that you've got a fixed mindset, do a review of how your fixed mindset has actually affected you in your past. And then obviously you're going to have new information. So now you have self-reflected. You're like, right now, no, I'm going to cultivate a growth mindset. So now if I approach a challenge, I'm going to be a bit more open about it and understand that challenges do happen and that it's not the end of the world and I could possibly maybe learn some things from this. So it's all about shifting your perception, your perspective on things, if I'm honest with you. So yeah, it's a day by day thing. It's not going to be overnight, but you're just more so now you know, okay, with a bit of effort I'm actually going to get somewhere. So instead of thinking that your effort is static and unchangeable, you try a little thing and you put a little effort in and it works and you're like, oh, actually, by doing it. So, but I just want every lady to know, and I always say this, we believe in delayed gratification at Hustle and Rise Academy. We're still going to get the same reward, but we give ourselves grace because we don't, it's not going to be 2 minutes. So cultivating a growth mindset is a process. I want everybody to know, you're not just going to wake up and be like, you know, because what it's really like is just imagine, you know, like Windows, they update. We are running on that outdated operating system. So when you start going on this journey, you're starting to download a brand new operating system. The old one's still there though. So it's a process of you like, no, that is what I used to do, but now I'm trying something different. And you just have to persevere. Perseverance is a big thing in this journey.
It's funny, one of the things that you said around kind of really doing the deep dive or digging deep into why this has happened or what kind of mindset you have sounds like the most difficult thing for people to do because it involves real accountability, which as many of us know is a really difficult thing. We like to hold up other people accountable and blame others for our situation, but we never take a chance to see like, what did I do to put myself in this situation, particularly when other people are involved, whether it's a relationship or a friendship or anything. We always try to find the blame in the other person rather than holding ourselves accountable. And just for people who are struggling with that, like, what would you say? Is there any advice that you can give around like that balance of accountability and grace, as you said, because you have to give yourself grace. Like, there's no point in holding yourself accountable to the point where you're like
beating yourself up for it,
beating yourself up to the point where you can't come out of it. Like, how do you hold yourself accountable while still saying, okay, Leanne, I forgive myself. This is what I need to do move forward and know that I know better, I can do better.
So I think first of all, we need to understand what accountability is, and that is just literally taking ownership for your actions. So at the end of the day, this is where self-reflection comes in. Okay, I may have acted like this now. I might have done this right now. It might not have been the best thing. I might really feel rubbish about what I just did. But this is where giving yourself grace comes in. Okay, now I've established that this situation has gone on. I'm taking ownership that this was me. This was all me. So now I'm going to give myself grace and I'm going to really say, I don't want to be in this predicament again. Because you, when things go wrong, and you need to understand, right, that this is part of your self-discovery. Not everything's going to go to plan. So when you give yourself grace and you take accountability, okay, I did that. But really and truly, when I sat down and think about it, I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to put myself in that situation again. So what do? You now act in a way that, because you've understood what has happened, you've given yourself grace and you've said to yourself, I'm going to do better, and you just do better. Because it really, like I said, it really just comes down to accountability is very hard for people to take ownership, like you said, especially when other people are involved and they this and they that. Listen, when you really take accountability, in most situations, there's always something we could have personally done better. So it comes back to self-reflection again. Take ownership for your actions. Give yourself grace to know that this is not how you want to move going forward.
No, that makes perfect sense. Easier said than done sometimes, but as you said, practice makes perfect, right? Like, we have to get into the habit of doing it more and more to make it habit.
How have you found it though, Leanne? Because even that's actually something I was going to talk about before, but then I thought I'd wait for another episode. But I feel like so let me give context. Yeah, so the other day I messaged Leanne about something, and I feel like I was in a bad mood when I sent the message, so I didn't even listen back. It was a voice note. I didn't even listen back. But me and Leanne know each other to such a deep level that I was like, even if there's a slight tone, because of the context of what I'm voice noting her about, she's going to understand where this is coming from in this instant. So I messaged Leanne about something that I was a little bit annoyed with. And it was little, but anyway, that was a little bit annoyed with. And then I met Leanne in real life. We had a dinner. And within like 5 minutes, she brought it up. And I thought, in my head, yeah, I was thinking, oh shit, what's happening here? Because baby, I'm used to situations where, like, I mention something, it might get ignored. Or if I mention something, to see the accountability, I'm gonna have to instigate that conversation. And in my voice note to Leanne, I remember saying, like, I don't even want to discuss this now. Like, let's just think about it. We'll discuss it in a few weeks' time or whatever. And I literally saw her maybe a week later. And within like 5 minutes, she's like, yeah, so about that message. I just want to let you know. I remember thinking to myself, like, I didn't tell you this before, but I'm saying this to you now. Right. I remember thinking to myself, this is true friendship. Do you understand what I mean? Oh. Like, this is true levels of accountability. You didn't actually wait for me to come to you to have that conversation. You actually just took it on your own accord to have that conversation and hold that space. And you also was accountable as well. And that conversation ended up being like 20 seconds, as opposed to in my head what I thought might have been a half an hour chat.
I know.
Do you get what I mean?
Because you thought you were going to have to convince me of your perspective, but actually giving me the space to say, this is how I feel, sit with it, think about it, actually gave me the space to think about it instead of being reactive, right? And if I can see the value in what someone's saying, I am the first person to hold my hand up and apologize and be accountable to that. I think it makes life so much easier. And I always use the example of men in relationships. Men will lie in order to avoid being accountable for things. And then it makes the situation worse when I find out, right? And then I'm going to have to cuss you, not just about what you did, but about the fact that you lied about it. Exactly. Yeah. Whereas me being defensive doesn't help anyone. And you're my friend, I don't think you're going to come at me about something that doesn't hold true. As we said with Daniel, there's no, you trust the people that you have around you. They know you well. They see when you're excelling. They see when you're fucking up. And so for me, it's like, okay, this is what Roshan has observed. What do I think about this? And then let me relay this back to her. So I think accountability is something for me that I struggle with, of course, like everyone else does. No one likes to feel like shit about something that they've done or, you know, a mess up that they've had or anything like that. But there's no point in me delaying that accountability because I want to move forward and I want to do better. So I think that's been my approach throughout life for the most part. It took me a while to get there. You know, as the baby of a family, you get spoiled and you get away with things and you find a way to cheat yourself out of things. But as you get older, it becomes harder to do. And it just wastes everybody's time if you're not accountable for yourself. Daniel, I don't know if you've found that with some of your clients as well.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Even for me, like, no one wants to admit to themselves, do you know what? That was all me, that mess right there. And I say this all the time. I joke with them. I was like, you see, when we're doing really well, we want to shout that from the rooftops. Yeah. But you see, when we're not doing so well, we're like, and then, you know, like, obviously in our household, it's like, nobody talk all business outside the door.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You already know. So it's like, we've already been installed from young. Whatever goes on in this house, don't bring that outside. You better not bring that outside, you know? So I feel that it's difficult, you know, but this is the part of giving yourself grace. You can actually be self-aware, because self-awareness comes into this as well. And that is where the self-reflection, where you can actually analyze. And that's why I said, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to feel like this again. So it's difficult to admit, do you know what? The mess is me. Because like I said, when we're all good, we want to shout that from the rooftops. But
yeah,
I say this to my, we everybody has skeletons rattling in their closet, rattling, no matter who comes to you. But you just have to, we've all done things we don't like, and when you understand that as a collective, you just want to do better. But it's difficult.
I think being authentic also helps with that. Shannon and I talk about this all the time. Like, this podcast has been so cathartic for both of us because we cannot have skeletons in our closet. Like, we share so openly. My sister was listening to the podcast the other day, and she was like, do you know how much I've learned about you just by listening to this podcast that I didn't know before? Because as you said, you grow up, don't air your dirty laundry. What happens in the house stays in the house. And actually doing this podcast has, and we're oversharers by nature, but has allowed us to really talk through some of the horrible things that we've done and share them as a way of, like, letting people know that, one, we're sharing authentically, but also, two, like, you can learn this from us as well, where it might be relevant. So I think that has, I don't know if that's the way you feel, Shan, but I think it's definitely helped us in terms of being more accountable, because we're almost accountable to everybody that listens to this, to this show.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's helped. And I think with the accountability thing, I think my struggle isn't being accountability, it's the guilt that comes with it afterwards. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can say to you, like, even the other day, I had a call with Leanne and my mom. I was having a bad day! And I didn't realise until after the call, I was having a bad day. Like, after that call, which didn't even last longer than 5 minutes, I remember saying to myself, like, you're actually upset today. You're actually sad. Like, it's okay to be upset and sad. Like, just, let's just actually process how you're feeling. And then maybe an hour or 2 hours after that, I sent Leanne a message like, you know what? The way I acted in that call, that wasn't good. This is where it came from. And it wasn't in a way to justify the behavior, but it was to give context and show awareness of the behavior that I had. And I don't think on that, if that example, that I carried guilt, possibly because I then did like a pamper session. So I was able to like wind down. But in most situations, I store guilt and I hold it for a long time, sometimes for 2 weeks. And sometimes I'll go back to that person, and if they know I'm someone who stores guilt, they'll be like, are you still feeling bad? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, honestly, just give it a fucking rest. But like, that's just how I deal with it. But I think, you know, self-awareness and accountability, as we've said, it's like a journey, isn't it? You don't just wake up one day and have it.
Yeah.
You have to get there. And I guess part of getting there is reminding yourself that you're allowed to have grace, and you're allowed to be human, and you're allowed to mess up and makes mistakes. And as you keep being more accountable and keep giving yourself grace, I guess the guilt slowly declines. But as we wrap now, this really interesting chat, so thanks again for joining us on the podcast. I just wanted to ask you, like, who or what motivates and empowers you? Because you, I think you're really motivational. Like, I love looking at, just listening to your TikTok videos. I'm particularly watching them when I should be working.
Yeah.
It'll be the middle of the day and I'm like, okay, what is this saying now? Right, I should do that. Okay, yeah. So, like, you're motivating so many of us online, inspiring so many of us online, like, outside of yourself, because I do believe you can be your own inspiration and motivation. Like, who and what motivates you?
Oh, thank you. I just want to say thank you, by the way. I appreciate that. Do you know what? No one famous or anybody inspires me. I'm very much inspired by people that start with nothing but a hope and a dream, and the people that share that journey with us, that go from, I'm not going to say rags to riches, but maybe a situation where you didn't think it was possible for you to do something, but you actually achieved that. So anybody that has gone through that journey, that is who inspires me. Because a lot of these people, they share their journey, if you hear it. And because I feel I've got a growth mindset, them having a growth mindset, actually achieving what they said they was going to achieve, is just so inspiring to me. There's not no particular person. And the people that I used to think that I inspired, they didn't turn out who, you know, these famous people, they don't turn out to be who you think they were. But in general, people that have actually not given up on their dream, they showed tenacity, perseverance, regardless of the situation. That just really makes me feel that no matter what I put my hand to, it's so possible. Like God never mm-hmm. gave me this vision because I cannot achieve it. He never made me go through these struggles. That now it's so funny as well, because my struggles inspire me. Because like you said, when you're in the public eye as well, like I'm very transparent with my, I'm authentic, I'm transparent. So maybe I might overshare sometimes, but I don't care because I know it's helping somebody. You know, the amount of messages when you share and they're like, thanks for sharing. Like, I thought I was the only one, you know, and I feel that the more that we share, we're helping people with accountability, because it's not, you know, they understand, like I said, that when I was saying about the closet rattling, like we've all got things that we don't wish, that we wish we never done, do you know, but the fact that we can talk about them helps someone else to actually be held accountable and understand that, you know, we all got stuff going on, we're human. And I feel social media has really taken that human element, taking it away from us, because, you know, you see the glitz and the glamour of life, you don't see the hard times of what actually happens behind the scenes. So yeah, I'm just inspired by people that have actually just made something from nothing, and then they're not afraid to go for what they go for, regardless of what anybody thinks. I just find that really inspiring.
Amazing. I'm actually interested to, there was a point where you talked about kind of, it would be a shame to not share all of this, all of these learnings that you've stumbled upon, or that you've intentionally stumbled upon, with other people. How did you go about kind of professionalizing? Because you said you have like a specific approach that you use, that you've developed for yourself. You have specific words that avoid the kind of buzzwords that coaches always use. I like the difference of input, output, and all of the different terminologies that you have. So how did you go around kind of like professionalizing yourself and growing yourself, growing your business, as it were, like turning this skill into a real profession for yourself?
So because I've been studying mindset and personal development for 20 years, 10 years ago, I've wanted to be a coach. But right then, my son was younger. It just wasn't the time. So what I did is what I always do, like the assess stage, I understood where I was, I understood my strengths, and I understood my areas of improvement, and I also understood what I needed to pivot. So because I believe in delayed gratification, what I did is I just took it day by day. What do I need to become this coach? What skills do I need? And I went about working on all of those skills over the last 10 years to put me in this position. I finally, because I used to be an accountant, so I got to like director level, and you know, my son's going to be 24 next month, and I was like, now is the time, right? So what I did in the last 2 years, I started investing heavily in my company. I decided what equipment I needed, what subscriptions, and now I did another evaluation. What are my strengths? What are my areas of improvement? And I literally, all I have been doing is me identifying those areas of improvement. I've researched them, I've poured into them, got the skills, but it's been a journey. I'm not going to lie, 10 years of wanting to do something. But in that time, I've got out of my own way as well, because it was a lot of imposter syndrome. Like, how dare you make the pivot from accountant to coach? Like, who do you think you are? You know, kind of thing. But you know, the more, because your confidence has everything to do with the way that you view your capabilities and abilities. So a lot of women say, how do I raise my confidence? Do the thing, do it. The more you do it, the more experience you get, guess what? You're going to make it. And now I've really been open for the last 9 months. That's how long ago I left my job. And I'm seeing the impact of everything. And I've done another evaluation. Is there anything I need to improve? So I'm constantly assessing where I am. I pour into myself, and I'm not afraid to admit to myself what my areas of improvement are. So it's happened slowly but surely over 10 years, but I finally got there and got out of my own way. And I cannot believe the response. It's been amazing. Like, seriously, it's like, whoa, imagine if I didn't do this. So yeah, that's how I got here.
That's amazing. You've talked about wanting to expand and move to other places. We talked about moving to Jamaica a little bit, which is amazing. Always happy to have people come here. What are your goals? Like, what do you want to, where do you want to be? Where is Coach Dan in 5 years?
So Coach Dan in 5 years will definitely have a house in Jamaica. It doesn't matter. She doesn't live there full time. She's going to have a house in Jamaica. I also want to add a coaching retreat into that. On top of that, I'm going to become ICF accredited so that I can globally work worldwide and be a mindset coach. So I'm going to be, even though I'm qualified to be a coach, I want to be globally recognized. So I'm going to take that qualification, She's going to be speaking all over the world. She's going to be operating in the UK, in Jamaica, and in America, and just helping as many women. We claim it. Helping as many women as I possibly can until I take my last breath, because it's very important to me. But progression, as much, I want to live a nice, soft life. And my version of soft life is peace, is peace, is peace. And living somewhere where I can just actually wake up and say, this is beautiful. That means everything to me. So being able to be around the world, you can do anything with a laptop, a mic, and a webcam nowadays. So I just want to be in beautiful scenery, but still doing the thing that I love.
We've had this movement of people realizing that they don't need to be in the space that they're in, and like actually the value of being in surroundings that make you happier. Do you find that a lot of the women that you interact with, specifically a lot of the Black women that you interact with, are having this kind of like epiphany about changing their lives? Because in our group, you see women starting their own businesses, you see women changing countries, you see them getting out of relationships that they've been in, I would say since COVID. But do you think that there's like a movement of women that are changing the way that they're doing things now and doing things more for themselves in the work that you've been doing?
Definitely, but I still think it's early days, if that makes sense. It's like not everybody has awoken yet to that, oh, do you know what, I'm worth more than this, I can do more. I feel a lot of people, I think the cost of living crisis has had an effect on people, because they're like, what am I working for? Do you know what, there must be more to me. So I feel that things raising has really allowed people to question themselves. They're like, is there more than this? Can I possibly, you know, I think that's had a lot to do with it. But I still think people are waking up. They, you know, a lot of people are still sitting in self-doubt, a lot of people are still in their comfort zone. So one of the challenges for my company has been actually spreading awareness about mindset, spreading awareness that there's actually another form of education and another way of doing things. So I feel that the amount of people that are pouring into themselves, yes, has increased, but I would like to see it increase at a higher rate, please, ladies, because you got this. Yeah, I really want to see it increase at a higher rate. But I feel, like I said, the cost of living and COVID definitely allowed people that time to really think about themselves. Yeah. So I feel in this last 4 years, a lot of people have been upskilling themselves in things that they really feel are more suited to them. But I would love to see more of it, seriously.
And I think also because in COVID, we spent a lot more time online. So I think we was then able to have more access to women doing things that we wasn't even aware they were doing in the first place.
Thanks so much for joining us, Danielle. Really appreciate it. I think both Shan and I have learned a lot. Shan didn't even have a rant today. It wasn't. We started on a positive mindset. We're already embracing some of the lessons. So thanks so much for joining, and let people know where they can find you before we sign off.
So you can find me, I mostly hang around on TikTok, if I'm honest. I think it's one of the most authentic platforms out of all of them. I'm still on Instagram and I'm starting my YouTube channel up again, but come over to TikTok. I do offer one-on-one coaching, but at the moment I'm running a workshop. It's called the Break Free Blueprint, to help you uncover your limiting beliefs. So come and find me at TikTok and join the community. I'd love to have you.
We can put all your links, if you send them to us, in the description.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, honey. I'll send them over to you. Amazing. Can I ask you a question? How did you two meet?
Oh, so it's a random love story. Leanne, you could share it.
We had a mutual friend who was like, you guys should get to know each other. We were thrown into a WhatsApp group and he was like, get to chatting. And that's it. That's really it. Like literally, Shan was about to go to Antigua for like 3 months. I was nursing a heartbreak and we kind of just found each other. Yeah. And then we put together the WhatsApp group. We threw everybody that and their mother into the group just to see what would happen. And we spent the first 3 months really just listening to women and hearing what they had to say, hearing what they needed. And then COVID hit. Right after, I would say maybe like 4 months after we started Dope Black Woman. And yeah, we were able to start the podcast and really get into, I think it's the podcast that allowed us to get to know each other as well as we did actually. And then a friendship formed kind of organically alongside that. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
And now we're 5 years in.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I had a look at the podcast and I was like, you guys mean business. You've been doing this. So I was just intrigued. Like, it's been so lovely to meet you. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. The energy has been vibing. The vibe has been vibing. So I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Women CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Women across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.
What to give Colin from the office for his birthday? Sure, you know how he feels about spreadsheet maintenance and the latest upgrade of the work IT system, but his hopes, loves and needs... No idea. So, why not give a scratch card from the National Lottery? What's not to like about that? The National Lottery. Best gift ever. Please gift responsibly. And remember, you need to be 18 to buy, gift and play. Even though it's a gift, rules and procedures apply.
Cut through the politics. Listen to what matters. With Today in Focus from The Guardian.
We don't trust these guys. They've made a mess of it. You know, if the voters don't trust you and they don't believe you, you can promise them the moon on a stick. And, you know, they're going to kind of shrug their shoulders and think, well, I don't believe that you would be able to achieve that.
The New Statesman podcast.
You know, this is becoming one of the most consequential elections of the last 40 years or 50 years. I think British politics this week changed for good.
Wow. Podcasts you can trust. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts or go to apple.co/acastpolitics.